then we move on to our next case, Munoz Pacheco versus Holder. Mr. Tenbrook.
Please the court and counsel, James Tenbrook on behalf of the petitioner, Jose Munoz Pacheco. It appears to me that the primary, or one of the main questions in this case, is whether this court has jurisdiction. And that's one of the main arguments that the respondents have made, that there is no jurisdiction. They're contending that all we have contested is a discretionary decision of the board with respect to a legal permanent resident cancellation application. The main assertion of the petitioner is that the BIA wholly ignored evidence of dangerousness to the relatives of the legal permanent resident in having to go to Mexico to visit him.
You know, if we read the decisions of the IJ and the BIA together, how can we find that the issue of the dangers in Mexico was ignored? I mean, it seems clear that the IJ considered the issue, and it also seems clear that the BIA agreed with the IJ's analysis of that issue. If I'm correct in my assumption that the issue of the dangers presented was considered by both the IJ and the BIA in combination, then how would we have jurisdiction to consider the petition? And how can that be labeled a legal issue?
Well, Judge, I have to respectfully disagree. I have looked over the decision of that immigration judge and the board carefully, and they do refer to hardship to the family if the petitioner were removed to Mexico. But there, all the hardship that was considered was hardship concerning separation, loss of, and separation in terms of emotional suffering, financial suffering. But there was never any mention by either the immigration judge or the board that they considered it hardship, the hardship of the violence. And we specifically put that evidence in the record from the father discussing how violent it was in Mexico. And there was no mention of it by either the immigration judge nor the board. And I have cited a case out of the
at record 168 and 171, the IJ noted the possible danger of violent crime in Mexico should the family visit him. And then, of course, concluded that his criminal record outweighed his hardship. I'm just having a bit of difficulty, and I'm trying to understand, you know, why you think that his argument was wholly ignored, that his family would face grave danger from, you know, Mexico's violent crime in the event that he was renewed.
Well, I think, first of all,
yeah,
the board set aside the immigration judge's decision. I mean, there were a number of errors that she made. In particular, she thought he was convicted of something when he wasn't, and then she claimed that he never filed any tax returns when, in fact, there was a big exhibit with tax returns for 5 years. And so the board set aside her decision. And when they did so, they went ahead and exercised their own discretion and failed to mention anything about hardship.
The board agreed with the IJ that his criminal history outweighed the favorable factors that had been raised at the hearing, which included the dangers of violent crime in Mexico. I mean, there was no suggestion that the BIA intended to supplant the IJ's decision with its own rationale in that regard. So, I mean, if you want to be really fair, it seems to me, you have to, I don't want to use the word concede, but you certainly have to consider the fact that the record shows that the board and the IJ didn't wholly ignore his evidence of dangerous crime in Mexico.
Judge, I don't understand how it's possible that the board could give any credence to that decision of the immigration judge. It was fraught with so many errors, not only the two that I just told you, but she made a conclusion that, oh, since an order of support was entered against him, he doesn't support his children. Well, in the state of Illinois, whenever you have a divorce matter, an order is automatically entered. I mean, there were so many other things that were wrong with that decision. And in fact, I think, well...
I don't understand the business about violence in Mexico. Is the notion that somehow members of his family who visited him in Mexico would be more subject to violence than he would be in Mexico? What's that about?
Well, I think they would be, yes, because he has four daughters, aged, I think, 8 through 17, as well as a young son. They're young. And then his parents who want to visit him are elderly. So there's people who would be susceptible to, you know, being victims of a crime down in Mexico. I mean, not only there's his...
The unique or the specific violence in Mexico had to do with the drug gangs fighting with each other and fighting with the police rather than ordinary criminality.
Well, the father testified to pretty serious criminality in the area where he's from.
No one can be deported to Mexico anymore?
No, that doesn't mean no one can be deported to Mexico anymore.
Only criminals.
Well, here he was a legal permanent resident entitled to have a hearing on cancellation. The typical cases that are out of the board that I've seen are ones where the person has serious criminal offenses and has no family.
That's a separate point. I was asking about the violence point. I don't think the violence point makes any sense.
Well, I think the violence...
As I say, you want to take the position, no one can be deported to Mexico.
Well, I'm not going to take that position. But
why not? Mexico is so horribly violent that these grandchildren can't visit. Why should anyone, at least with children, be deported, right? Suppose you have a Mexican family in the United States. The children are not U.S. citizens. They're illegal immigrants also. And you're saying they can't be sent back to Mexico because the children are vulnerable to violence.
I think it should be a major factor, Judge. And
I don't think that's going to work.
I mean, there are a number of people who do get deported anyway because they've committed aggravated felonies, and so therefore they're not even entitled to a cancellation request, as the petitioner was in this case. So obviously those people, you know, they're going to get removed irrespective of what sort of family members they have here. But in the context of a legal permanent resident who has...
All right, so your position is that any illegal immigrant, you can't deport illegal immigrants to Mexico unless they're criminals.
No.
Well, that's what you're saying, because it's so violent.
Well, here there was...
At least if they're old or young.
Well, here, admittedly, the petitioner himself got in some criminal trouble, and that's why he was in front of the immigration judge.
Maybe he shouldn't be with his children.
Well, that's what the immigration judge thought.
Well, you may be right, if your theory is correct.
There was evidence that he supported them and that he was with them.
Was he violent?
I guess he... there was an altercation with his son at one point, but it seemed to me to be not anything I didn't suffer when I was younger.
Look, all deportations inflict hardship on the people deported and their friends and family in the United States and so on. And, you know, this is supposed to be a discretionary determination by the board, the immigration judges. It doesn't seem like an unusual case. He does have a bad criminal history, so.
Well, it just seems to me that this sort of factor should be more important than it was given by the immigration judge.
Well, that's kind of discretionary judgment that we're not supposed to review, right?
Well, I think they're not going to make those types of changes to reviewing these things unless a court like this tells them to.
It's too bad. You have to take that up with Congress. Maybe these people shouldn't have discretion. Certainly make a good argument they shouldn't have any discretion. Anyway... thank you, Mr. Tenbrook. So, Mr. Sandu.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. Pafu Sandu on behalf of the Respondent, the Attorney General. Your Honors, we would ask the Court to dismiss the petition for review for lack of jurisdiction. As Your Honors have indicated, the arguments that are made in petitioner's brief challenge the weight that the agency assigned to the particular factors in this case. I would just point out, in addition to the record cites Judge Roebner that you pointed out in the immigration judge's decision at page 168 and 171 of the administrative record, where the immigration judge specifically summarized the testimony regarding the violence and danger in Mexico, I would point out, in fact, that the board went through a very thorough analysis, and they stated on page 5, administrative record page 5, undoubtedly the respondent and his family will suffer hardship as a result of his removal to Mexico. They recognize the hardship. And, in fact, if you look at the decision carefully, they clearly evinced a clear indication that they searched carefully through the record because they cite several pages in the record, including the transcript at 136 to 138, which is administrative record 324 to 326, which references the testimony by the petitioner's father regarding the violence and danger in Mexico. And then they also cite to the transcript at 171, which is the administrative record at 359, which references the petitioner's sister's testimony regarding the violence and danger. And I think they actually did a very detailed job because out of a 200-page transcript, those three or four pages are the only pages in the whole transcript that discuss this alleged hardship of violence or danger in Mexico. And I think the theory is that it's going to prevent the petitioner's family from visiting Mexico, which goes to separation and emotional hardship. So I think the board has actually done a very detailed analysis here and cited the relevant pages. This theory about the danger and violence in Mexico was not actually a significant part of the issues below. The petitioner didn't even testify about this. And then it wasn't a major part of the petitioner's opening brief. It was in the reply brief that he really raised this issue as a significant issue. But we would ask the court to dismiss the petition for review under 8 U.S.C. 1252 A2C, the criminal alien bar that applies in this case. And if the court has no more questions, I'll close with that.
Thank you, Mr. Sandu, and thank you to Mr. Tenbrook.